Hi, this is part two of the initial contact training presentation, and I'm not getting into a detailed legal study, getting into case sites and statutory citations. There's plenty of material available on all of that, and that's all very important, really, to have a good understanding of specifically what the law provides for you here, but I'm going to confine my short discussion here just to some practical matters and the net result of this in just kind of a common sense logical format here based on some of my experiences and what I've learned over the course of the years. So hopefully we can just boil it all down to, you know, what's real and how it works. So let's talk about how to protect yourself. And this is a very serious matter because in case after case, the cops are being trained today to shoot first and ask questions later. People are being killed by the dozens, perhaps by the hundreds. I don't know what the count is, but it's just ridiculous for no reason. Absolutely no reason. You may have heard the news about the 11-year-old kid who was in the park with a BB gun. What kid doesn't have a BB gun? I lived with BB guns when I was a kid. having a BB gun is one of the greatest things in the world when you're a kid. This poor kid was in a public park in a city. Wrong place to be with a BB gun, certainly. Someone complains, a citizen complains, cop shows up, and the kid's just waving the BB gun around, and the cop just killed the kid, plugged him full of bullets. And he did what all cops do in situations like that. Oh, I feared for my life, so I had to shoot. And that's the mentality these days. You may have heard about the 16-year-old kid who answers a knock on the door. There was a woman police officer at the door for whatever reason. He opens the door with a game controller in his hand. I think it was a Wii game controller. And she thought it was a weapon. Kills the kid on the spot. Plugs him with six or more bullets right there standing in his doorway. Kid was playing a video game, goes to answer the door, and a minute later he's dead. I saw a story. Cops broke into the wrong house. They busted down the wrong door. Whoops. Let canines run loose throughout the house. A 90-year-old woman is sleeping in bed early in the morning and gets mauled, just mauled by these police dogs that were just running loose through her house. As soon as they sniffed her out, they attacked the hell out of her. Just ridiculous, ridiculous situations. And we can complain about it, but we have to be aware of the environment that we're in today, okay, and how police are being trained. Police, and I've heard this unequivocally from various sources, is that in order to get a job on many police departments, that your IQ has to be under a certain level. In other words, you're not smart enough to ask questions, but maybe you've got a strong physique and a strong character. Maybe you've got some psychological flaws where you need to be dominant to make up for other inferiorities. I don't know what the cases are, but I do know that many police departments require an IQ of a certain number or less. In other words, you cannot be too smart to be a cop if you're just going to follow orders blindly, and that's what they're doing. And in more cases than not, it just becomes a power trip for these jugheads who are out there just to dominate. And, you know, they want the excitement of blood and guts, and I don't know what it is. It's a combination of a lot of things, but it's a very dangerous situation out there is the point, okay? So you've got to be aware of that and be extremely diligent. Now, let's continue on our previous discussion on traffic stops. A couple points I didn't mention in this regard is that if it's nighttime, turn on the interior lights to your car so when the policeman approaches your car, he can see inside. Okay? If he gets spooked for any reason, remember, some of these guys are trigger happy. Okay? Remember that. Turn on the lights so he can see what's inside. Keep your hands on the steering wheel, both hands on the steering wheel. As a personal policy, I would never open the window more than just a few inches, enough so that we could clearly communicate, and nothing more. Because I don't want a cop reaching through the window, grabbing me by the throat, or throwing in some evidence, which happens quite often. To protect myself, I'll roll down the window a little bit, a few inches, and no more. I will not roll the window all the way down or even halfway down. Okay? And it's best, if you have anything in the front seat, before you come to a full stop, put it in the back seat. So he's not wondering what's in that package, what's underneath the blanket, what's in the backpack, things like that. All right, the front seat should be clear, and so that he can see that he's not going to be in any threat. And you can appreciate, you know, what these guys go through. The gangs running loose, and it's all kinds of threats to the police, especially now with, you know, these uprisings and hands up, don't shoot, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So cops are really on the defensive, so you do not want to give them any reason to have fear. All right, you want to help the cop out in that regard. Hands out front, lights on, protect yourself by not opening the window completely and so forth. So quite often, the police will ask you flat out, hey, do you mind if I just take a look in the trunk? Or take a look in the back seat. And the way they ask, it's just a very casual kind of offhanded thing. And many people, their common response is, well, hey, what the heck? You know, I don't have anything to hide. Why not? Yeah, sure, go ahead. No, absolutely not. Do not ever give consent for a warrantless search. Do not ever do it. There are too many crooked cops out there, number one, who will use that as an opportunity to plant evidence, and all of a sudden you're going to jail for possession. Okay? And you know, some of these cops, they gotta meet their numbers board for the end of the month, and you don't know. There was a well-known case in Louisiana that a group of cops, there was a ring of cops that were using the search and seizure laws to seize high-end luxurious cars. They'd see a beautiful Lincoln Continental going down the road. They'd pull them over. Oh, guess what? There's cocaine in your trunk. You know what? You're going to have to be under arrest, and we're going to seize your car. And these cops were dealing in these cars. Just amazing. So do not ever put yourself in that position where that could even possibly happen. The other thing is, why is the cop wanting to take a look? All right? He's looking for anything that would give him a reason to lock you down. All right? You want to be arrested? Here's an example. A friend of mine has a little farm, and she grows moringa. Moringa is a tree. The leaves on it are super nutritious. It's a super high nutrient food. And these leaves are ground down just into little particles. And she sells it in little plastic bags. Well, guess what? What if I had a cop knock on my door and he saw a bag of moringa sitting on my table? Before I could take my next breath, I'd be face down on the floor with my hands behind my back. So you've got to be aware of these situations. Do not ever give consent for a warrantless search. You're just asking for trouble. I'll tell you right now, don't do it for any reason, no matter how nice the guy might be. All right? If you get a knock on the door, You should have your hands free, not holding any objects. Be in open view, not concealed by anything in front of the door, portable screens, boxes, anything else. Have an open, clear doorway. Your hands should be in free. It should be free and in open view. No objects in between. Nobody should be hiding behind or around the door, around the corner. Everyone in the room should be in plain view or completely out of sight, out of the room. But you should have somebody there as a witness. Two or more witnesses is always best to observe what's going on, okay? If you get a knock on the door, or even if you're pulled over in your car, get control of your dog. Put the dog away, if you can, in another room, locked behind a door. Cops will shoot that dog before they even think twice. All right? And they'll say they felt threatened. You've heard the stories. I don't need to explain that. Get your dog out of the way. Again, if you're in your home or apartment, you get a knock on the door, stand on the threshold, barring entry. Don't open the door and stand two or three steps inside, which allows them the opportunity to step in. Do not do that, okay? So you get that knock on the door. They say, "Can I come in?" No. Okay? I'm telling you right now, do not let authorities in your house. No consent. And that's what they're asking for when they ask you, "Hey, can I come in?" All right? You gave them consent. You waived your rights to Fourth Amendment protections by giving consent. You've waived your rights. You voluntarily, willingly, and intentionally have waived your own rights. Okay? So you never give consent. "Can I come in?" Well, first of all, who are you exactly? "Oh, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such." All right, can you show me some ID, please, to verify that? All right, you want to establish that, just like we did in the last traffic stop presentation. All right, and what is your authority exactly? All right, who do you work for? And what's your authority to come over here and come into my home? Oh, you don't have authority? Okay, well, then you're not coming in. Okay. Well, we have a warrant. All right. Let's talk about what is a warrant. What's a good warrant? Most of the time, they lie. All right. A warrant must specify what is being sought. What are the items that are being sought after? Okay, so it must be very specific on what items are being sought, who is the subject of the search, or exactly what location is the subject of the search. All of that must be specified. I've been involved in and had one situation I'll share with you. I was involved with a business group. They were in the financial business, and they had an FBI investigation going on, long story short, and the FBI decided to come in one day and raid the offices. All right, well, there was probably 12, 15 people in those offices at the time, and the FBI said they had a warrant, but they didn't particularly show one, and they came in, assumed control, assumed a dominant position, and these people were just, you know, sitting around letting them do it. And well, I stood up. I says, gentlemen, we're more than happy to let you do your job in the proper way, but just let's make sure everything's proper. Let me see your papers. Let me see your warrant. All right? And they didn't have a proper warrant to show me. What is a proper warrant? Okay, it must specify what's being searched. Like I said, the location, the people, the articles being sought after. Okay, and what's to be searched, and nothing more. Okay, if your purse is not on that list, then they cannot search your purse. In this case I just referred to, they went through women's purses and took thousands of dollars of cash. One woman was ready to go pay the bills for the office and just came from the bank, and she had $3,000 cash in her purse. Guess what? They took that. Her purse was not on the list. That was an illegal seizure. All right? Now, that's the warrant. Must be very specific and make sure they do not go beyond what is specified in the warrant. You can follow them around the house. Okay, they tell you to, oh, go sit on the couch. No, you don't have to. All right, you want to observe what they're doing. It's your property. You're going to hold them accountable to the terms of the warrant. Now, a warrant to be valid must have attached a probable cause affidavit. In other words, one or more individuals, law enforcement officials usually, must swear under penalties of perjury that they have firsthand knowledge that a crime was committed or was about to be committed, and because of that, that's the probable cause necessary to execute a search. That, first of all, the warrant must have an original signature from a judge. It cannot be a computer printout. It cannot be a carbon copy. It cannot be a nice piece of word processing without a signature. There must be an original signature by the judge supported by a probable cause affidavit. Again, original signature stating the probable cause, the statutory crimes that are allegedly committed or about to be committed, supporting the warrant. Okay? I've had officials present me with a computer printout. I said, sorry, this is not a warrant. I'll give you 10 minutes to go get a valid warrant. All right, I'll sit here for 10 minutes. You go get your valid warrant with the judge's signature and the supporting probable cause affidavit. Without that, I'm leaving. Okay? So those are what you need to demand if you're ever presented with that kind of a situation. Okay? Don't get yourself killed. Be aware of the fear that the cops have these days. Help them out with transparency, lights, hands in the open. Don't be waving objects. You'll get yourself killed. And teach your family these things as well. It's extremely important. So I hope that helps a little bit, and we'll talk to you in the next presentation.